Good evening. I'd like to thank God for allowing me and also the congregation for giving me the privilege to bring a portion of His Word tonight. And I'd like to talk about something that is, urgent because of the fact a lot of people believe that they can get into heaven by changing Christ. And so my message to them and to everybody tonight is do not try to change Jesus, right? People have all kinds of ideas about Jesus. But the Bible, I believe what the Bible says about Jesus. Now, Christ can change you, but you can't change Him. Why? Because He's perfect. Though He were a son, yet learned His obedience by the things. Notice He was the Son, meaning He was the Son of God. Not only, He was actually God in the flesh. As He told some of the Pharisees, He said that before Abraham was, I am, meaning He's part of the Godhead. And we can see some other things. And being made perfect, He became the author of our salvation unto all them that obey Him. He is the only one who could stand in the gap between us and God. And we also see that Job longed for Him. He said, oh, if there was just somebody that I could have there that could take my case. Well, we have somebody, which is Jesus Christ, that can talk to God, that God respects, right? Because He's a member of the Godhead. He is the same, as we said. Hebrews 13:8, it says that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the Old Testament, it says that God was from, you know, everlasting to everlasting. So Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. You can't change Him. Christ is also the Word of God. God will not let you change the Word of God. You can't change the Word of God. Christ is unchangeable. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable, notice that, unchangeable priesthood. Many would follow Christ if only they could just change. It's just this one little thing. Christ, let me change this one little thing about you. Just let Him change Him in some way, and then, hey, I'll follow you. Because there's this one little sin that I want to do. Oh, if you would just let me get away with this, I'll just follow you to the ends of the earth. I'll do anything that you say. Many want Christ to fit the mold that they have constructed for. Right? Oh, Christ, let me, in other words, make you in my image or my ideas. Christ made man, and man cannot remake Christ. I mean, that's just the fact. He made us, and He's not going to let us remake Him. He's the God, and we're not God. One cannot change, modify, streamline, alter, or dictate to Christ. Now, I know that a lot of times you hear all this stuff, well, yeah, I heard what Christ said, but, so we want to change Him now. But, okay? So with that but now, we want to change Christ somewhere, or change what He said, but we have to remember that He is the Word of God. So when you change the Word of God, you're trying to change Christ. You can't change Christ. You cannot change the Word of God. People have always tried unsuccessfully to change what God has said or done because, you know, normally it goes completely against our nature. You know, when something goes against your nature, you really don't want to change it that much. You know, it's comfortable. You know, when you're doing things that your nature, you get sort of comfortable in that and you don't want to change. So you want everything else to change except you. There are many who want to believe, but they want to degrade first Christ. In order for them to believe, they want to degrade Christ to just a prophet. Oh, well, He's a good man. He's a prophet. You know. But Christ was more than a prophet. Nonetheless, what do the scriptures say? Like Christ used to say all the time, He said, well, what do the scriptures say and how do you read it? How do you understand it? What do they say and how do you actually understand what they say? In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now we're referring to Christ. Notice that it's capitalized. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. Now people change that. They try to change that. When they try to change that, then it causes all kinds of other problems, right, with the scriptures. Now suddenly you have somebody worshiping another God and God is okay with it. So if he's a God, then, you know, why didn't God kill him and why did God allow people to worship him? That's a problem. So you can't change God's word and you can't change Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing at all made. If we try to change him, maybe we would change ourselves right on out of existence. And man is good at that. Always coming up, okay, if I just do this one thing, and then we find out this one thing causes, you know, a whole bunch of other things that eventually threaten our very existence. If you change Christ, try to change Christ, and if you could and you changed him, maybe you wouldn't be here once the change took place. You can't change Christ. The scriptures say, but unto the Son, which is the Son of God, thy throne, O God, okay? Thy throne, O God. Like we said before, others say that he is not God, he is a God. But the scriptures say that he's God. He says, unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So you can't change Christ from being God. We had God in the flesh. We can't change that. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, which interpreted is, God is with us. I don't know how much clearer that can be, and I don't understand how people can say he was not God when the Bible and the scriptures say exactly that. No other person can claim what Christ claims. No other person can say that, you know, I am not of this world. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Isn't that something? All of them were of the world. He was the only one that could say that I am not of this world. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can say that. Nobody. No human could say that. And in fact, I don't think in any religions they've actually said that. They may say that I know the truth or whatever, or I have a, you know, sort of a line to God or something like that, but they don't say that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. None of them have ever raised anybody from the dead except Christ. When he says, I am the life, and he proved it, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Death couldn't hold him. Who else can do that? Who else can speak and bring people back from the dead? No other person can claim what Jesus claims. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Now, a lot of people will call themselves Christians, but yet and still, they don't do what Jesus says. So I have a problem with that. The disciples of Jesus are called Christians, and according to his definition of what Christians are, it's somebody that's doing all that he told them to do in my way. If you continue, you know, in my word, then you're my disciples. If you don't, then you're not. And people will fist fight you if you would tell them that they're not Christians, even though they're not doing what Christ told them to do. But yet, Christ says it himself. It's amazing to me. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, remember, he said he was the truth. If you keep his word, you're going to know him. Knowing him is actually knowing the truth. And he came to set us free. That's the truth that came to set us free from sin. You'll know the truth, which is Jesus, and the truth is going to set you free from sin. Right? Nobody else can actually claim that. And I said, therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, we have people down here on earth, you know, some religions. They say that some of their priests can forgive sin. I haven't seen it anywhere in the Bible. Now, and I've seen their Bible, and I've looked in their Bible. I can't find it in their Bible either. So for me, they should just take that Bible, throw it in the trash can, and continue with their creed. What's the sense of actually saying it's the Holy Bible, and then they never go by it? Right? But they yet and still, they want to say that they can forgive sin. God has never given man that particular right, authority to forgive sin. Because Jesus was more than a man. He was a God-man. And he was the only one. And in fact, they wanted to kill him because he said that he had the right to forgive sin. No man can actually claim what Jesus claims. And he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. How many people ever made that claim and can make that claim? That they were the living bread who came down from heaven. And what he's referring to is that the truth, and we're going to eat of the truth, and he's going to have to give up his body to satiate and satisfy his Father's anger over our sin. And he's going to take on all of that sin. That way, that's how we're eating his body. And when we eat his truth and we walk in his ways, then therefore he has become the living bread for us. It's not the physical bread, it's that spiritual bread that we're going to eat. And so that, you know, but his body had to be consumed first so that we could actually take advantage of that. No other person led a sinless life except Christ. Isn't that simple? Who can claim that? No other person did that. Which of you convinced me of sin? Now, he has all these enemies. You know, to me, that was amazing. You have all of those people there who hated it, who wanted to see him dead, but nobody spoke up and said, well, I remember when you did so and so. Nobody could say that. Everybody was silent. So his enemies proved that he lived a sinless life. And you know how that is. As soon as somebody comes up and there's some famous person, somebody's going to want to take him down. And they'll find some dirt on him. Even the reporters today wouldn't have been able to find anything on Jesus. He led a sinless life. Who can do that? We all have those little secret stuff and things that we have done or we're doing now. Jesus had none of that. Isn't that something? And he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Well, he had to have lived a sinless life. Otherwise, he could not be the sacrificial lamb for us to stand in the gap between us and God. That particular person that Job yearned for when he was suffering. So God was there, right? God accepted him as being sinless. So, you know, and as our Savior and so forth. So you know that he lived without sin. So you can't change a person like that. There's no reason to change it. And if you did, therefore, then we would have no salvation. If you made him sinful, then that everything, we still be lost. So who wants to change? I certainly don't want to change Christ. I certainly don't want to remake it. I'm just struggling trying to do what he says so that I allow him to change me. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, yet without being disobedient to his Father, yet without going against all the rules, the regulations, and commandments that his Father gave. How many of us can say that? Nobody. I mean, we have billions of people on the earth. Certainly we should be able to find one, right? But we can't find it. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And because of the fact that He was sinless. That's why we have salvation. Some believe that it was not necessary for Christ to die on the cross. You know, oh yeah, well, you know, he didn't die anyway. That's somebody else up there on the cross. And I have read this in other, we'll say, religious documents, and I saw a laugh at that. And I don't want to get into that argument anyway, but anyway. But the scriptures say, therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because, now notice, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And we also see this, we said he was without sin, right? Sin means that you're going against or you're violating a commandment of God. This commandment have I received of my Father. That's why he had the life. He had to lay it down because it was a commandment from his Father. For him to be sinless, he had to obey that commandment. And said unto them, thus it is written, thus behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Why? What does that mean for us? Right? What does that mean for us? And that repentance, so that we could go and we could receive repentance and remission of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations. So without his dying on the cross, there would be no remission of sins. We would all be doomed, right? So, like I said before, I'm not trying to. I don't want to remake Christ. I just want to change in any way that I need to satisfy him. Some believe also that he shouldn't die on the cross. And we see in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned. In other words, notice that all means everybody. Everybody of the age of accountability has sinned somehow. You know, well, I lied a little bit. Oh, well, I stole something. Oh, I hate this person or whatever. You know, all kinds of little things. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Well, then the question is, well, how are we going to measure up? Christ said that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can't get to heaven. And then when I was a kid, I was saying, well, gee, that's no sense in my even trying because I'm pretty bad, you know. But what I didn't go far enough, it was not my righteousness that was going to get me in. I had to get into Christ. Once I got into Christ, then it was going to be his righteousness that I was going to use, not my own. Because I can promise you, as a kid, I did a lot of stuff. I did a lot of stuff. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission, meaning remission of sins. We can't satisfy God, right? Something has to bleed. Something has to die. Somebody has got to pay a price. And he says, where here I am, I'll take on all the sins, you know, of all the world now, before, and forever until the last person is alive. He's taken all those sins on. He paid the whole price. That's why he had to die on the cross. Otherwise, we would just be condemned and doomed. Why? Remember that in the Old Testament, in the Mosaic Law, it says then that the sacrifice had to be of bulls and of goats and so forth, but they couldn't take away its sins, right? They were not good enough to take away sins. There was only one person, and that person had to be a member of the Godhead that could take away all of our sins because that one person was perfect. Had to have that one perfect person. First of all, who was perfect, and then secondly, who was willing and loved humanity, all of his creatures that he made enough to do it. Some do not believe that Christ rose from the dead. You know, there are religions that say that. Well, he didn't rise from the dead. Well, we saw him over in India somewhere, right? That's why you can't find his body. He was running around India, and they sneaked him out, and they took him to India. But that's not what the scripture said. The scriptures say, and declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Right? By the resurrection of the dead. In 1 Peter, it says, 1:3, it says, blessed be the God Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, which has begotten us again unto a lively hope by what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why he owns us. He's paid the price. He owns us. When you become a Christian, you sold yourself, as it were, to Christ. You've sold yourself to Christ. So there's, you know, and he doesn't want you fooling around with anybody else. He's jealous. He went there and he died and took all that humility and all this other stuff. Set a way for you to come to God, and he does not want you playing around with Satan and his minions. Right? For him, that's like harlotry. You know, the church is his bride. Here we have his bride is fooling around with somebody else. He doesn't want his bride playing around with anybody else. You know, just like one spouse doesn't want the other spouse to be fooling around. Christ does not want us fooling around with anybody else. He wants us to be loyal to him. And Jesus said unto her, now this was Mary and also Martha, when they were, you know, when they were grieved because Lazarus had died, and he made sure that Lazarus would die before he went there because he wanted to show the power of God. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Right? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. Yet shall he live again. That means then that everybody is going to be resurrected. Some are going to be taken over, we'll say, to damnation, and the others are going to go with God and be with Christ forever. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? And that's what we should be asking ourselves, right? And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, who else can say this? Who else can say all these philosophers? We've had philosophers. And I've taken philosophy, and most of the stuff that they're talking about is nonsense. It sounds like they're talking about something they have no clue about. And they can never answer any of these questions, you know, that Christ answered. Well, what happens after you die? They can't answer that. They can only try to deal with things, as Ecclesiastes says, under the sun. Well, what about above the sun? This is what Christ can deal with because he comes from heaven. Marvel not at this. We're talking about, you know, people saying that Christ did not rise from the dead. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which that all the graves shall hear his voice. Right? Now, let's see what he says about that. And shall come forth. So everybody's going to come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Not only did Christ raised from the dead, all of us who are dead, who will be dead when he comes, also are going to be raised from the dead. Only those ones that will be alive are going to be those, you know, who are alive when he comes. But don't worry, you're not going. As some religions say, when you're dead, you're gone. That's too easy. You know, that's too easy. That's not the way it is. God says that, you know, when animals die, the spirits go back to the earth. But when man dies, his spirit goes back to God. Right? God says that he made man in his own image. And he breathed the breath of life into it. And he loves man. Right? So he's going to get that spirit back. That spirit is going to have to either get a reward or pay. It's going to be a reward or pay. And they're going to be, you know, there's going to be a resurrection from the dead, and all of us, you know, will actually pay for what we have done or receive a reward for what we've done in this life. Another thing that we have, some people want to change the word of God, right? And they want to say that Peter was the head of Christ's church. Okay. And in Mark 16:18, what we have, and it says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, they should go back to the Greek. You have two words, you know, that mean rock. You know, Peter meant rock, but Peter was a little rock. But in the rock he was talking about, you have to read the passage before that that says, you know, "I believe that you are the Son of the living God." That's the rock he's talking about that he's going to build his church on. And you know, of the five things that you have to do to become a Christian, one of them is that you have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That's the rock he's talking about. He's not talking about Peter. We know Peter denied it. We also know that Peter did not want the Gentiles to come in to be Christians. And he had to get threatened and told by God, "Well, you're going to do this. Don't call anything unclean that I have made clean." So it couldn't be Peter. Peter had done a pretty bad sin. You know, when you're denying Christ. The scriptures say that Christ said that, you know, if you deny me before men, I would deny you before my Father. So if he hadn't straightened that out, Peter was on his way to hell. So it can't be Peter, because Peter was not that good. He was just like the rest of us. He wasn't good enough for Christ to build a church on. He's just like, you know, just like I'm not good enough, just like Paul was not good enough, just like nobody except Christ was good enough. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God," which Peter had repurchased with his blood. Peter was still alive, right? Peter didn't purchase the church. When the church opened, Peter was still there. He preached the first sermon, so it couldn't be talking about Peter's blood. So if Peter didn't purchase it, Peter didn't own it. Peter did not own the church. "To feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood," we're talking about Christ. He owns the church. "And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be" what? Gave Peter to be the head of all things over the church. The one that we're talking about is Christ. "And gave him," Christ, "to be the head over all things to the church." So that's a fairy tale. They're living in the fairy tale land. They want to change Christ. They want to change the word of God. Okay? "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as" what? "Christ," this is just as clear as you can get, "as Christ is the head of the church." That's simple to me. "And he is the Savior of the body." Now, of course, I know why they did that, because a lot of these religions, all they wanted to do was get control over people. And notice, you also notice something about these religions. They didn't want anybody else to read the scriptures except them, because then people will discover. And there were a few saints and so forth that did it, and when they caught them, they cut their heads off, they killed them. The Catholic Church did that. I'm reading about the martyrs. And they did some bad, they were killed. In other words, after the Romans started out killing them, Rome fell, then the Catholic Church took over, and they began to kill Christians. They began to restrict the word of God and made it illegal to translate it into any other language except Latin, which they had a control over. They want to change Christ. You can't change Christ. "And therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ," it didn't say it was subject unto Peter, "so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So the church is subject to Christ in everything. So that means then that nobody can, unless they get, we'll say, permission from Christ, and generally, you know, the Godhead is not going to give us actually control over anything in his church. And a lot of people want to say that the apostles had total control over the church. Well, no, that's not true. The Holy Spirit did. And in fact, Christ told them, wait until the Holy Spirit came. So otherwise, why didn't they just open up everything? Why did they have to wait until the Holy Spirit came? Because the Holy Spirit was the one in control of all that stuff. They did not allow the men to do that. They did not allow. They couldn't trust humans to do it. Many do not recognize Jesus' authority. Right? Many don't think, oh, well, like we said, well, we have just as much authority. In other words, our little doctrines and creeds, well, that's more important than the Bible. Or as equally as important as the Bible. Right? That means then they do not respect Jesus' authority. Oh, yet they want to say that they're Christians. Yet they want to say it's the church. Yet they want to lie and say that Paul, they're taking that over from Paul because Christ had allowed Paul to be the one, to be the head of the church. We've already proved that that's not true according to the scriptures. Now, they can say anything they want. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Right? Since, did God give anybody else all power? I didn't know that God ever gave any man all power. Christ has all power, so you should be respecting his authority. And also, he's the head of the church. For some, their feelings are the authority, right? I just feel good. Well, I looked at this stuff, I read it, but it doesn't feel right. So yeah, their feelings are more important than God's word. Also, the creeds, like I said before, they're the authority, so the creeds are more important to them than the word of the Almighty God. The preacher, oh, I hear that all the time at work. The denomination, oh, my preacher said. You never hear them say that the scripture said. My preacher said this and my preacher said that. It's going to be surprising to them to find out that their preacher is going to wind up in hell. And they'll be right there with them. I wonder whether, you know, there's going to be fighting in hell. The scriptures don't say that, but, you know, I'm curious about that. When people find out how many people have duped them and they have followed them right into hell, I wonder how much fist fighting is going to be going on in there. Well, the spirits can do that. I'm just curious. I'm not curious enough to go there. And why call me? This is another thing. They say that they're Christians, right? And so Christ is saying this, if you keep my word, then you are my disciples. But then the others don't keep the word, and so, but they still call themselves followers of Christ. And Christ says, well, why call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do any of the things that I'm telling you to do? Well, how can I be your Lord if you do whatever you want to do? You are your own Lord. Maybe Satan is your Lord. He that rejects me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. And this is the bad part right here. This is the down part to all of these other things that do not recognize that they put before and make them the authority instead of Christ. Now he's going to give you the downer. Here comes the downer, right? He that rejects me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken. So all these words that you have rejected, all these words you refuse to read, right? He's made them available because, you know, it's funny how people will read the newspaper. They'll read everything, right? Magazines about what's current events. But somehow they can never get around to reading the Bible. That's not going to be an excuse. You know that in English law it says ignorance of the law is no excuse. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And I'm sure this is going to be the same thing. You didn't want to do it. So you're going to suffer anyway. And you knew it was available. It wasn't important enough for you. Right? The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. If you want to know how you're going to be judged, my advice is to read this and study this. Now, I used to be in quality assurance, director of quality assurance when I was working in Canada for the Department of Defense. And one of the things that I had to do I had to read a lot of, we'll say, the contract, so I would know how far I could go in my auditing, right? So I know, in other words, how I could judge them. So the contract that was there that they both signed, the government as well as the contractor, I had to sign that. That was how I was going to judge them. Now, Christ and God have given us a contract here. He's telling us, these are his words. This is how we're going to be judged. And the word, the book is going to be open with his words in it. And it's too bad if you didn't read the contract. You didn't study the contract. You know, it's a pretty bad thing that at least if you read them and say, no, I don't want to do it, that's bad enough. But if you listening to somebody else and you don't read it and then wound up in hell. Salvation is too important to me to leave to somebody else. Right? At least if I wind up there, right, it's because of something, you know, I did and I didn't let somebody else do it to me or for me so that I would wind up there. And I don't intend to go there. The scriptures say that while he yet spake, you know, in other words, they said that when Christ said that he could forgive sins, they said, well, only God could forgive sins. Now, let's see what happens in the scriptures. The scriptures say that while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I said, therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am the Son of the living God, you're going, and believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. Why? He's the only one that can, between us and God. So if you can't please him, you can't get to God. If he tells his father, no, I don't know him, that's it. That's final. That's final. There's no other way around him. There's no appeal. You know, this is the super Supreme Court. And you got this one judge. That's the problem. Only one judge in this Supreme Court. That's the one where you have a chance now to get on your side. And so when you walk in there, oh yeah, I know you. Come on in. If you don't get to know him here, it's too late. When you go, when you're being judged, it's too late because he'll say, I don't know you. And that's the end of that. There's no appeal. I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Again, we said that that's one of the five things you have to do to be able to become a Christian. And whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Like I said, he has the last word. He is our high priest. He is the one that's an intercessor between us and the Godhead. That's it. No appeal. No trying to get to the Father. You just take whatever it is, whatever he says and whatever punishment he's already told you, you're going to get. You just have to take it. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now that's a pretty bad thing. So that means that it doesn't behoove you to be a coward. Some religions say it's okay to deny Christ to save your life. That's not what the scriptures say. Notice that's pretty bad. It didn't say under what circumstances. Circumstances don't matter. He went to the cross for us. We belong to him. We have to do what he says. If it means that we have to die, that's okay. That's the way it is. So we can't deny him. So that particular religion is wrong. You may get a chance to repent, but you may not get a chance to repent. And if you don't get a chance to repent, well, you're just out of it. That's it. You know where you're going. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, we know that a lot of people want him to change that. Nobody wants to be baptized, and I never could figure that out. I never could figure out why baptism is such a problem for people. I never could figure that out. I mean, when they understand the symbolic, the symbolism that we're talking about, you're going to go in there, you're going to die, that old man is going to die, and then you're going to come back and your spirit is going to come from death to life. And not only that, simply because he told you to do it, right? Simply because he told you to do it. A lot of people are going to go to hell with that thing about baptism. So, in conclusion, man cannot change Christ. No matter what you say about his word is absolute and it's not going to change, right? It's not going to change. Christ is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And now, you know, oh yeah, well, we got to change this stuff because this was done way back when. It's funny how the universe doesn't change, does it? The universe doesn't care how much new music that comes along. It doesn't care how many trends come along. It's funny how it still is the same. It's been the same since God made it. It does not change either. Earth keeps going around the sun, right? You still have all those other planets that keeps doing all that has still have the same relationship. But then what makes you, and it was what? It was the word Christ that spoke all of this into existence. The universe doesn't change. Christ says that his word is that he's not going to change or his word is not going to change either. So that we should change. There are some things that can change and other things that cannot. Christ is one of them that you can't. Man can only change himself. We can only change ourselves. Does Christ of the Bible appeal to you? That's the whole thing. He either will or he won't. Are you willing to let Christ change you because you can't change it? If not, he will not change to suit you. Christ is not going to change to suit any of us. He told the Pharisees that. And notice, you remember when he was telling them that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood? A lot of them got up and left. When many of these disciples turned away from him, he did not change to please them. Did you notice that? He kept right on preaching the same thing. He didn't change. He's not a crowd pleaser. He's all about truth. He said he's the truth. The truth is the truth. And the truth is absolute. It's not relative. The truth is not the truth today and then a lie tomorrow. The truth was, you know, there when he spoke the universe into existence, and it's still the truth. It didn't change because somebody changed the music. It didn't change because of the new technology. Okay, it's still the truth. Christ holds the keys to the kingdom and also eternal life. If you want eternal life, maybe some people don't want it. Now, they may not know that they want it until, you know, the last day and say, geez, you know what? I shouldn't have done this, but it's too late. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author. So we have to remember that. He is the only one. There's only one name, you know, under heaven whereby man can be saved. And that's Christ. There is no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved. He became the author of eternal salvation and unto all them who obey him. Is there anyone at this particular time who's a Christian who wants to make something right with God? Or some other person who's not a Christian, who wants to put on Christ, to come to Christ, you can come forward and do so as we sing the song of invitation.